Well, thank you. And we will now move on to our special guest, who is, of course, Laura Towler, the deputy leader of Patriotic Alternative and the most famous nationalist on the planet at the moment. Now, I have been involved in nationalism for an awful long time. And during my time in nationalism, I've seen some great publicity. But since 2009, when the British National Party got two MEPs elected, I have never, ever seen the nationalist cause get as much good publicity as it has in the last couple of weeks, all thanks to Laura Towler. This huge publicity boost that we gained from her little spat with Yorkshire Tea is remarkable. It's given the PA website a massive boost. It's got everyone talking, and it really has shown quite clearly how tyrannical the anti-white system is, that if you merely say, I'm pleased the company I like hasn't supported BLM, that is enough for that company to turn on you and tell you that you should never buy their products again. But I think the best person to talk about this is, of course, Laura. She works tirelessly. She runs the PA website, which if you haven't gone and checked out and signed up to, you should, because the Patriotic Alternative website is incredible. And her work on that is absolutely top quality. So, Laura, please tell us a bit about yourself if people don't already know who you are. Introduce yourself and, of course, tell everyone a little bit about Teagate.
Yeah, well, hello, everyone. My name's Laura Towler, and I'm the deputy leader of Patriotic Alternative and also the web editor as well. I actually feel like I look a little bit stretched tonight. I've been eating healthy recently and I've lost a little bit of weight, but I feel like DLive is making me look quite chubby again, which isn't good. But yeah, so what happened with Teagate? It was just mental, and it actually happened. Mark and I did a stream last week, on Monday, I think it was, and it actually happened about 10 minutes before we went live. And I remember Mark and I were laughing about it on the stream that we did, saying, oh, Yorkshire Tea have told me not to drink their tea again. And little did I know that while we were streaming, it was becoming the biggest news story in the United Kingdom, and it was the top trending story on Twitter. It was just mental, overwhelming. I received thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages, and I went to bed that night and I woke up and Piers Morgan was talking about it on Good Morning Britain. It was in the Guardian, the Independent, the Metro, the Mirror, the Express, Sky, BBC. It went to America, the New York Times, CBS spoke about it. Owen Jones was getting overexcited about it. James Corden made a video about it. It was in news articles in France, Germany, Austria, India. It was just weird. Like, of all the things that I've said, that was the one thing that everyone took offence at, which I just thought was really weird. But it was, I think overall it was a good experience, because I always wondered, if Patriotic Alternative grows, say if we grew to the size of UKIP and we started having newspaper articles written about us all the time, I always wondered how would I cope with that, because I am quite thick-skinned and stuff doesn't really seem to upset me much. But I'm also very introverted and I do feel a little bit smothered sometimes. And that experience really taught me quite a lot about myself, and probably taught me that I'm actually a lot tougher than I thought I was, because it didn't bother me. I don't know why it didn't bother me, but it didn't bother me. I think maybe having a YouTube channel over the last couple of years has been good practice for getting a load of hate and anger and stuff. But it was such good publicity for Patriotic Alternative, because we had a record-breaking day for clicks and registrations on the PA website. And also, it was just, it was just crazy. I'm still getting messages about it today, and it was like a week and a half ago. But one thing that I will say is, well, two quick things, actually. First of all, to everybody who sent me a message of support while it was in the middle of Teagate, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I know that sounds cheesy, but for every one angry message that I received two supportive messages, just from people saying things like, you know, just stay strong, just get through it. We've got your back, and you are the voice for the silent majority, that kind of thing. And it made me feel like, rather than it being me versus the whole world, it was actually us versus the whole world. And I'm just so glad that we have that community. And the other thing is that don't underestimate how evil our enemies are, because there were people who were trying to dox my address and try and get me fired from my job and things like that. And luckily, It's impossible to do that with me because I'm self-employed, so you can't get me fired from my job. But if that happened to, say, you know, just like a normie man who was like married and he had kids and he had to maybe just a job in an office or something, he could have easily lost his job and not been able to buy food and stuff for his kids because of that. So that's what I would take away from it, really. Just don't underestimate how evil our enemies are and cover your tracks online. You know, don't let people find out where you live and where you work and stuff like that. But yeah, I'll pass back over to you, Mac.
Okay, so I'm enjoying the craziness of DLive. I'm not sure what the lemon system is yet. It's all a little alien and new to me, but I'm sure we're going to muddle through. Now, I've already had complaints about the stickers in the chat and the fact that the stickers are clogging up the chat so people can't see what people can't really see what's being said. Now, if the stickers keep being abused, I'm going to have to turn the stickers off, because otherwise all you're going to see in the chat is a million frogs drinking tea and doing things. Oh, and look, there's Matt Jarbo as well. I'm not sure why he's in my chat. But his face is now in my chat. The stickers are amusing, but they are being abused. So if anyone knows how to turn off these stickers, I will do that straight away. I think Jason's looking into it. I'm very old. I end up getting larger numbers on DLive than we do on YouTube. I think we're just going to stick with this as a platform, because I'll tell you now, it would be very interesting, wouldn't it, if we found out that the stream on YouTube was essentially being killed by YouTube all along, and this is a freer and better platform, so we can actually see the true metrics. And I know on a couple of streams, we've actually been pushing 2,000 viewers, and all of a sudden the stream has stickers before all I see is stickers. Just, we've got a lot to talk about, because Teagate has been huge. Is there anything you want to say further about Teagate, Laura, or is there anything Jason? Only did nationalists get horribly abused by the police, they then got picked off by gangs of Antifa and those, what do they call them now? Urban youths. They got picked off by urban youths and Antifa. And after that was all said and done, the nationalists, of course, got the blame. And this is something that we predicted. But very interestingly, Tommy Robinson, one of the people who called for this demonstration, actually pulled out of the demo the day before. And that's something that needs to be discussed. And we're actually going to play the video of Tommy Robinson pulling out of the demonstration. And we will basically be discussing that at length. So, Laura and Jason, is there anything you want to add about Teagate?
Not from me, but maybe Jason does.
Yes, I will say quickly, and Mark, you might be able to find while I talk a bit. If you look up in the right-hand corner, you'll see your avatar, and then just to the left of that, the camera. If you click on that on the left-hand side of the screen, you'll have some options relative to the stream. You might be able to find the way to turn off these stickers there. I haven't yet gotten to it, but I will talk for a moment while you have a look, and I will
stickers
find
are now dead.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I just want to say quickly then that when I saw this happen to our sister Laura, it just such a, I was infuriated, because this is, and this is something I want to talk about on Sunday on Going Free, especially if Laura can attend with us for a little bit, that would be magnificent. But we as working class white people have suffered long enough from these anti-white, rich white people who do very little relative to us when they go to work. Some of them, it's true, some work hard, but most don't work nearly as hard as the rest of us. And we still live, relative to the way they live, very humbly, because the gap between wealthy and working class, middle class, working class, poor, is enormous. It's colossal. And then what you have are these priggish idiots, these anti-white jerks who have these six-figure and seven-figure jobs at the heads of these companies doing very little. And you see it all the time. I'm sick of this. And the soon as there's a little whiff of something going on that is anti-white in the world, and they get an opportunity to villainy signal just how anti-white these white people are by crushing some blue collar, working class white person, they have no problem bringing down the world social opprobrium on some individual working class white person. Well, I am sick of it. I say no more. That's why I started the stream with that little bit that I made into a commercial for them. We need to hurt them back. Every time they want to harm somebody who is in the working class, a white person, and keep their six-figure jobs, these, you know, they used to be called by the cuckservatives limousine liberals. Well, we don't call them by the names of their taking. They're just anti-white bastards. So when they come after one of us, especially such a sweet little lady as Laura Towler, for merely and being a loyal customer of this company for a majority of her life or whatever it is, and merely saying, not tagging them, not going out to the world and saying, oh, I love this company so much because they just won't be as anti-white as the others. No, just merely saying, I'm so happy that my favorite tea has not done the same, followed suit with all these other anti-white companies. They should have kept their mouths shut. Well, I hope the message that I sent, and I hope we can do this as a community from now on, when these priggish anti-white six and seven figure dirtbags decide that they're going to come down on our brothers and sisters in the middle class and in the lower class, let's call for them to be fired. Let's get all of the attention that we can from all the anti-white groups that we can and say, why are their faces so white in the executive department of this company? Shouldn't they all be fired now? Because that's what these people want. They just want that six and seven figure job. So let's make sure that if they are going to socially lynch us, they're going to initiate that to villainy signal and say that they're so good. Let's bring the attention of all these powerful anti-white groups down on the heads of these white executives at the heads of these companies and demand that they quit their jobs immediately and be replaced by non-white people to demonstrate just how truly they are committed to an anti-white world. That's what I had to say about that. Pass it back.
Okay, if Laura's not got anything else to add about this, let's talk about the weekend. Now, a lot's been said about what happened at the weekend, and I want to make it very clear. Patriotic Alternative released a statement long before the weekend outlining exactly why we felt that the protests in London were a very bad idea. Now, we were the first to say it, but I've got to give credit where it's due. We weren't the only people to say it. I noticed that Gerard Batten said it, and several others were very quick to tell their supporters and their members not to go to London. And they were saying the same things as us. It was a trap. However, the Democratic Football Lads Alliance, I always almost laugh when I say that. I don't know why they've tacked Democratic on the front, because I don't think they're actually a democracy. And the guy who runs it, I hear that he's a member of the tribe. So you know what their agenda is going to be, or his agenda. I don't think the average lad who's involved in that would be on board at all with the guy who's running it and what his agenda is. But interestingly, Tommy Robinson, one of the people who whipped people up beforehand, he decided the day before the event that he was actually going to pull out. He decided that ultimately it wasn't for him. Now, that's very interesting. And I know what some of you will be thinking. Well, did he do the honourable thing? Did he read the Patriotic Alternative website? Did he listen to Gerard Batten? Did he listen to the many other level-headed nationalists like Way of the World, Laura Towler, Morgoth, and many, many others that said this event would be bad for nationalism? Well, let's see what Tommy Robinson had to say. Let's see if we can get the screen share working over here on DLive. So, I believe this is set up correctly. Now, we're going to do a little game here. Every time that Tommy sniffs, snorts, or rubs his nose, you have to have a shot of something. I'm going to have a can of Red Bull every time he does that. So, here are my cans of Red Bull coming in. So, let's see what Tommy had to say.
A hat that makes it seem like I'm against the black community, because I'm totally not. And that's not because of any threats, because I don't give a shit, lads. Yeah, it's not because of any threats. is because principally that's not who I am. Now, I hope you understand when you're watching this, and I've said I'm going to be in London to defend the war memorial, yeah? And I have said that in a fit of rage. And the reality being that my presence in London now, and many of the young black lads that are going to go, are going because they think they're defending the black community from people who are coming to attack them, because that's how it's gone out. I've seen how a 20-second clip, people, and Home Not Hate, the same organisations that I'm saying are using you, are then saying football hooligans plan attacks on the black community. That's not the truth, but I realised that my presence in London would be detrimental to racial tensions. The last thing I want is clashes between members who support me. And there's black people coming. I think we've got black pastors coming with us, yeah, that we did have. I've now sat and watched the way this has played out, and I don't think it's the right move. And I generally don't think it's the right move. And not just don't think it's the right move, I don't want to be responsible for more racial division. Because I can't say you're being used by left-wing politics and left-wing politicians from the Democrat Party to push this agenda, to then be used by the Labour Party to push this agenda, and then me walk straight into it and do the job that they want done, which is cause a massive conflict between whites and non-whites. I don't want to do that, right? So I've made the video. I'm not going to be in London on Saturday, okay? I'm not going to be there. Not because... I don't even know all their names, man. All these little rappers and that are fucking putting things up, yeah? Not because of any of that, all right? But lads, I'll tell you why, truthfully.
Well, guys, I've got to say, I didn't think I'd ever see the day it would happen, but I ran out of Red Bull. That's my full 8-pack. It's all gone. I won't sleep for a week, and I've got to go to Tesco now to pick up some more. They've got it on offer. So, well, that was very telling, wasn't it? Tommy, I didn't think I'd need that many cans. You can hear me stacking them all up. It's lucky the recycling bin's being taken tomorrow. So there was our Tommy telling you why he wasn't going to London. Not because Tommy didn't think it was a good idea, not because he thought it was a trap, not because he thought that ultimately it might harm the movement, not because he thought it might be a disgrace and get white people into trouble, not because he didn't want his members or his fans or his supporters or whatever he calls them to be beaten up or picked off by roving gangs of blacks, but because he doesn't want to upset the black people, because that's his main priority. The guy who has gone all over the country getting into scrapes and fracas and fights and troubles and all of that with the Muslim community, all of a sudden doesn't want to do the same when the black community are helping to tear down statues and vandalizing the cenotaph and attacking the police and doing all manner of things that they shouldn't be doing, because ultimately it's only a matter of time before Tommy takes a knee. Tommy has really laid out his intent here. He's told everyone what he really is. Tommy Robinson is a liberal multiculturalist who fundamentally wants Britain to be just the way it is, minus Islam. That's all. He isn't about saving our people. He isn't about stopping demographic change. He isn't about doing something wholesome or creating a community. He's not even about looking after his own members and supporters, because many of his own members and supporters, by the time he decided that he was going to take the knee, were already booked on to coaches, paid for expensive train tickets. They didn't want to let friends and family down who were going. They were already tied into the event. So they already went down. And I watched a stream where many of them were actually chanting his name, which I found that quite sad, actually. I find it quite disappointing that these people went down there to support a man who ultimately backed out, and not for good reason, but because he wants to appease the black community. Now, you might have seen statements by Tommy Robinson since the event, and these statements have been echoed by the guy that runs the DFLA. And these two are absolutely desperate to work with Black Lives Matter. They're absolutely desperate for dialogue. They're absolutely desperate to avoid any form of confrontation with the black community. at any cost. And now it is only a matter of time before Tommy takes a knee. And the interesting thing is, it's very telling that his line is exactly the same as the Zionist Republicans in America. That it's not the fault of BLM. It's not the fault of the blacks who are attacking whites. It's not the fault of blacks who are looting or committing criminal acts or attacking the police. They're all just being used by the real racists, who are the Democrats and the Labour Party. I mean, this is completely unreal. And I've even seen some of his more, can I call them stupid, Laura? Am I banned from calling any of his supporters?
You're banned from calling Anne-Marie Waters a lesbian.
Oh, okay. What can I call her?
I don't...
Well, anyway, the interesting thing with Tommy's supporters is Tommy's supporters now are desperately trying to prove that Black Lives Matter is a front for Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, because it's all just doing backflips and cartwheels to try and justify their own existence. And it's completely insane. It's completely insane. But I think you get a measure of him, and I think you get a measure also of his mental state when you watch that particular video. And the last thing I'll say before I pass it over to Laura and Jason is, if that was the video he released for us to watch, if that was the best take he did, because that's a pre-recorded video, if that's the best take he managed, I'd really, really like to see the stuff that hit the cutting room floor. Laura, what are your thoughts on Tommy Robinson and the last weekend's debacle?
Yeah, well, I'm actually just glad that you could understand what he was saying in that video, because all I got from it was hope not hate, something about the black community, and then a load of like hand signals and stuff. And I remember watching it and just thinking, I don't even know what you're saying, Tommy. It's just unintelligible. But I suppose my thoughts on last weekend are, when I was watching it unfold, in fact, let's start at the beginning. The last couple of weeks have been absolutely brilliant for us as nationalists, because they've woken so many people up, and woken people up in a racial sense. And I deal with the incoming inquiries on the PA website, and we've had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of messages from people saying that this week their dad woke up, or their girlfriend woke up, or they woke up, and it was because of the statues being pulled down, it was because of the police kneeling, it was because of the government being weak and doing nothing about it. So over the last couple of weeks, what we've done as nationalists is, rather than getting involved, we've just diverted people's eyes towards what's happening and said, look at this, because it's been like somebody's handed us a plate with a big gold, I don't know, like bar on it. It's just, that's how like expensive it has been for us, and how worthful, is that a word? It's been for us over the last couple of weeks. So when last weekend happened, and our guys, I'm talking about, like, you know, British patriots and nationalists went down, and what happened, you know, the media framed it in the way that it was. I mean, some people, if you're a British man and you're punching a police officer in front of a camera, it's a pretty stupid thing to do. I can't really make excuses for you. But when that happened, I felt so frustrated and I was so disappointed, because we knew that that would happen and we warned about it. And I don't want to be like, you know, I told you so. I would rather it didn't happen, but it happened. And I was watching it at the time and I was just like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I think I tweeted something like, you know, you're not helping us and you're making us look really bad. And somebody actually responded to my tweet and they said something. And I thought, yeah, you're 100% right. And it actually stuck with me. And this person replied to my tweet and said, Laura, these people don't even know that there's an us. And I thought, you're absolutely right. And I actually felt like I was being maybe a little bit too harsh on saying to the people who were misbehaving, you shouldn't have been misbehaving, because all these are, it's mainly men, patriotic, decent British men who have been watching what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. They're angry and they're frustrated. And you know what? Good on them for being angry and frustrated. I'm glad that that's what they're feeling. And they went down there and they kicked off because they were angry. And now I take back what I said about maybe being a little bit not patient enough with these people, because it isn't their fault. They're living in Britain and they're watching all this stuff unfolding behind them, to the side of them, in front of them. They don't know that there's a community like Patriotic Alternative who are doing things, you know, who are forming networks, who are doing activism, who are doing like real world community building stuff. They don't know about this. They just see what's going on in the news and think that they're alone. So it's not their fault at all. I'm not sure what Mark and Jason think about this, but I think we're all on the same page here. And the people who I'm actually really angry at is the people who put themselves up to be leaders for these people. People like Tommy Robinson, people like, you know, leaders of other so-called patriotic or nationalist groups in Britain, because you've guided these people down to London to not only be attacked themselves and put themselves in a difficult and dangerous position, but you've also set British nationalism back a little bit as well. And it's kind of a bittersweet feeling for me, because I hope I don't sound like a simp here, Mark. Can a woman be a simp? But I feel kind of really happy that we have Mark. I feel like we're really lucky to have someone like Mark who actually cares about our people, and he actually has a long-term plan. And we had him warning people and saying, you know, this is what will happen. But I also feel really kind of angry at the people who, it felt to me like their priority was going down to London and getting that video that they could upload to Twitter or Facebook and get, you know, 50,000 likes on it. I felt like that was their priority rather than the safety of their people. We can learn from this, and hopefully next time, you know, less people will go down. And Patriotic Alternative are always welcome with our arms open, and these people are always welcome to come and join us.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the kind compliment. Before Jason comes in, and we'll talk a bit about our big plan as well in a minute. But before Jason comes in and comments on this, I just want to say there are some people in the chat who are trying to claim that we've made so many lemons. What's going to happen with all the money? Well, apparently one lemon is worth one penny. People in the chat complaining that we're making too many lemons. Lemons are a penny per lemon. So those that are trying to sort of stir trouble and claiming that we've just made enough money to live off for the next year or something is incorrect. They're worth a penny. Thank you to everyone who's donated lemons, but I would just like to tell the people in the chat who are saying that is the cost of a lemon. So you can make very, very small donations here. You can make big donations as well as you want, but it gives everyone a chance, and it's quite simple to do. And the donations that qualify for a super chat, they will be read out in the second half of the show. Jason, what were your thoughts, my friend, on the protest down in London this weekend? Did you see any of it? And if you did, what was your reaction?
First of all, the lemons. We're lemon rich. We are lemon rich. These Leno points are just something else. Those are bad actors who are just misguided people that think that we're rich on the lemons now. We're actually going to, as we say in the States here, we've made so much, we're going to head for the border, and you're never going to see from us again now that we have all of our pennies together. But having said that, who could not love this little lady, Laura, right here? And listening to her talk about what's happening with Tommy Robinson, and also with these activities that were in London this past weekend. First of all, this character, this Tommy character, how much more of a squalid character can he have? This to say, I mean, we've known he's an abstractionist. He'll sell his people down the river. He called all of us who were standing up for our statues, and we didn't want them to be white erased like the rest of our history. He referred to all of us as Nazis, and he would be fighting us if he were in the United States, and all of that. I tweeted about that. So this guy is a dirtbag, and he's misled a lot of great people, working class folks in the UK. They end up thinking that he was one of them, and cared about them, cared about their lives, and he couldn't care less. And he just demonstrated that by getting you all riled up about going down to defend statues. And then the day before, I mean, he was already no matter what news that he found out. I mean, this is what happens with generals throughout history. This is what happens with leaders throughout history. Once they put a plan in motion and they get a body of people in motion, even if the day before they receive the news that they themselves are going to die in the event, they go. That is what being a hero is all about. You have fired these people up. There's no stopping them now. And they're going to end up at this place. And just because you're privy to some information about something going bad or what have you, that doesn't give you the right to not show up and be with them there to suffer what you have inflicted upon them. You absolute dirtbag. This guy, if folks don't know it already, this guy is absolute anti-white scum. And he ended up causing, I saw these videos, a lot of good brothers and sisters, white brothers and sisters from the UK sent me videos of these poor souls who went out there, and Laura was talking about them a moment ago, didn't know any better, many of them, but pure of heart, caring about our people, caring about our history, wanting to preserve that which we have created. And they get down there, no idea. They're not seeing the world as it really is, because they're seeing the world through these abstractionist lens that Tommy continues to polish up for them on a daily basis. And they get down there and they don't understand why the police get on their knees and open their mouths when the anti-whites show up. But when white folks show up who care about the history of the UK, care about our people, have served in our wars for that country, when they show up, the police show up with batons and shields and helmets and bear mace and tear gas and other kinds of weapons, and then lead them to places that once they are in that location, they then say it's a sterile area and you're going to be charged with terrorism and spend the rest of your life in prison. They don't get it. They're in tears on their videos. This is absolutely despicable. This is exactly what we all and others were talking about, and we predicted it perfectly came true. And the question is why? We don't have a crystal ball. Mark doesn't have, we don't pass it around between the three of us and others who get the opportunity, pass the crystal ball to them, and then they can see what's going to happen in the future. We know what's going to happen because we understand human nature, and we understand anti-whiteism, and we understand that the state is anti-white. That is why it happens. There's nothing confusing about this. So if you were a Tommy supporter, now's the time, just as Laura was saying, the arms are wide open. Now is the time to leave those ranks, to get some clear spectacles on so that you can understand the world as we understand the world, retrodict everything that has gone on in the past, and be able to predict everything that is going to happen in the future. And again, I echo what Laura said. We welcome you with open arms. I pass it back.
Thank you. So that discusses a little bit about the Tommy Robinson issue on Saturday. Now, we did say that something else should take place, and we've had quite a number of people who wrote to us and said they wanted to go to their local war memorial. And there was something that we thought was a good idea. You see, we've already said that these big national events that are announced in advance, especially in places like London. What you've got to remember is London is a city where the indigenous people are already a minority. It's a city where there's a Muslim mayor. It's a city where the police are viciously anti-white. And the anti-white nature of the police could be seen very, very obviously on Saturday. Now, for over the past week or so, there have been BLM rioters, have been Antifa thugs, there have been people running riot in London, attacking the police. And the police have been wearing short sleeve shirts. They've been in regular patrol gear. They've been taking a knee. Yet when nationalists went down to London to protect the cenotaph, they were met by police in full riot gear. And the intent was very obvious. If you are white and you attend a pro-British or pro-white demonstration, the police, especially in London, will treat you appallingly. However, if you are protesting for a quote-unquote progressive cause, that cause will mean that you are treated completely differently. And one thing that is very, very interesting is over the course of the Black Lives Matter riots here in Britain, there have been 23 police officers injured. Down in London at the weekend, only 6 were injured, which tells you everything really you need to know. And that's not a statistic you'll see in the press either. And it's very interesting to see the way we are treated. And that's why these big events that are telegraphed in advance, that's why they're no good for us. That's why they are pretty much a trap every time. And that's what it is. It's a honey trap. People want to go down. They want to do something productive. They're full of adrenaline. They're angry. And rightfully so. You know, they've got every right to be annoyed at the system. They've got every right to be angry about the treatment of our people. But the problem is they get down there and everything's already laid out for them. As soon as they're there, they get kettled, they get abused, they get goaded, they're met with police in riot gear. But if these people had stayed local, if they had just phoned round a couple of days before and turned up unannounced at their local war memorial or their local cenotaph or their local statues, which they wanted to defend, that response, they wouldn't have been met with that response. No one would have known they were turning up. The enemy wouldn't have been able to organize. The police wouldn't have treated them in that way because they wouldn't have known in advance what was going to happen. There wouldn't be barriers set up. They wouldn't be able to kettle them. And that did actually happen. And all over the country, local lads who avoided that honey trap in London turned up at their own war memorials and protected them completely ably. And that's what we keep talking about. That's what PA keeps pushing. Patriotic Alternative keeps pushing the idea of local politics, local community-based events, not these big demonstrations, which ultimately give the media what they want. And the media wanted an excuse at the end of the weekend to be able to say, the trouble that has been caused is down to nationalists. And isn't it amazing that all the members of parliament, all of these celebrities, all of these people, many of whom are meant to be quote unquote right wing, who said nothing about the BLM rioters, the moment there was trouble at a nationalist event, all of them came out. Every single one of them came out in force to condemn those at the protest. And the new narrative is, well, Black Lives Matter protests were mainly peaceful. Of course, they were mainly peaceful. You know, they've been rioting in America for weeks now. They've even taken over part of Seattle by force. they've occupied the Capitol Hill district of Seattle by force. Men with guns are now patrolling the Capitol Hill area of Seattle. They call it CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. So it's not peaceful at all. Not at all. We've seen white people lynched, white shop owners attacked. We've seen shops burnt down. It's been horrific. But the press have said mainly peaceful. The politicians have said mainly peaceful. But as soon as nationalists go somewhere and there's the slightest bit of trouble, and there was trouble. I saw some sites that I wasn't particularly proud of. I don't think nationalists on demonstration should be drunk by midday and throwing cans of beer at the police. If you're going to a nationalist demonstration, you need to be disciplined, you need to be ordered, you need to be well dressed, you need to be like almost like a little military unit. And that's how you have to behave. Now, I believe that that was a huge own goal, because now the establishment are saying, well, you know, Black Lives Matter was mainly peaceful, but look at what the nationalists are like. And that does an awful lot to push back against a narrative that was causing an awful lot of people to visit our website to start talking about issues of race, because normal people were appalled by what they were seeing on the news. And they were even more appalled by the dishonesty from the media, the press and the politicians. But by doing that event, by getting involved in that honey trap at the weekend, that has undone a lot of the good that BLM and Antifa did in essentially recruiting for us. What's your take on that, Laura and Jason?
Well, I think overall, I don't think it's possible to undo the good, I guess you could call it good, that BLM did for us. I don't think people are going to see nationalists kicking off and then forget everything that they realised about race the week before. I think what we did is maybe take like five steps forward and one step back. So we're still in a good position, I think. And I've spoken about it before, but just even my friend just like sending me screenshots of stuff that she'd seen on Facebook, you know, people virtue signalling and like black people talking about, oh, we need to do this in your schools, or we need to pull this down, or we need to do that. And she was just absolutely fuming about it. And this is just the normie. So, and like I say, we've had so many messages. I don't think you can undo the damage that BLM did. So I think we should still be, you know, white-pilled about the last couple of weeks. But the articles about the weekend were already written the night before, and before the day of action the news already started to circulate articles about far-right thugs before they'd even seen who were turning up. And many of these far-right thugs were just like veterans and old ladies and stuff, you know, who were just stood at statues. They were being called far-right thugs as well. And just to reiterate the point that you made, Mark, The BBC went with the headlines when 23 people were injured by police officers were injured at the BLM marches. They went with the phrase largely peaceful protests. And then when 6 police officers were injured at the by the nationalists, day of violence. So that's how the media spin it. And it reminds me of, I mean, even just Teagate last week, like the BBC were able to write an article about me disavowing BLM and Yorkshire Tea disavowing me straight away within like three hours. But when the Telford scandal broke, the BBC didn't write a single article about it for a week. And this is what the media are like. And nationalists need to learn, if you haven't already learned, that the media are not going to treat us with the same level of respect. And they're going to treat us with a different level of bias than they do to everybody else, because we're the ultimate evil. As nationalists, we are the ultimate evil. There's nothing worse than being a racist in the eyes of the media, even when people aren't even racist half the time. So I just hope that we can learn from it, and I just hope that it won't set us back too much. But I don't think it will. I'm still very white-pilled about the last couple of weeks. Are you guys? Are you white-pilled overall, or are you black-pilled overall?
Oh, I am as excited as could possibly be about this, because first of all, it is proving once again that we have our pulse on what's actually going on in the world, because this was all predicted, and the continuing and cycling, the cycles that will continue apace and they will get shorter apart, and these sort of destruction of Western civilization will get worse each time it cycles through. And of course, in the United States, we had another individual, Brooks, by the last name Brooks, who was inebriated in public, decided to fight the police, steal a weapon off one of the police officers, and then try to use it on the police officers, and ended up getting himself shot dead. And as a consequence, the anti-whites used that as another excuse to make more demands, destroy more of Western civilization, white erase us from our societies. But here's the thing that makes me so excited, is that we have the formula for success. The problem was that our brothers and sisters out there, the vagues, the masses of normal white people with normal sensibilities, they, for large part, are still stuck to the anti-white narrative, stuck within the anti-white narrative. And they're, for them, even though confusing in many ways, are answers. And yet, as a consequence, they weren't looking. They weren't wondering where else can we go for answers. Who else do we need? We need to replace these institutions, these entities, the church, the government, the alma mater, etc., that they normally pledge their loyalties to. But now, with society burning down around them, and let me tell you what, both of my wonderful colleagues here and everybody who's listening, in the United States, and this is going to take the place all across the West, and so just look for it. We made the prediction, so as it comes true, it'll be another proof that you are in the right place, and that is that they will implement programs to harmonize the diversity that has made what has gone before look like child's play. So they are going right now in the United States all the way down to preschool level with brand new anti-white curricula all the way up through. I'm talking with principals across the United States, with educators, teachers across the United States, professors, people are writing out that are in the white positive sphere, hiding, of course, in their industries, because they would immediately be thrown out, censored physically from the jobs that they've trained for, worked their whole lives for. And they are telling me it's coming like you wouldn't believe. Well, of course, I know exactly how it's coming. The same thing's going to be taking place at everyone's work. You are all going to have to go through new anti-white training to harmonize the diversity. It's going to mean trillions and trillions of our dollars, and every individual is going to feel that in their lives. It's going to mean our best and brightest are going to be employed in this, which means they won't be able to be employed elsewhere in our civilization, so that our lives can continue to be made easy by their genius. And that includes everything like diseases, engineering, etc. All of these people are going to be put there. It's going to be an endless amount of time and suffering, and it's all going to come at your expense. That means the soil of our brothers and sisters out there is going to continue getting richer by the day moving forward, richer in terms of our seed that we can plant in the soil of their lives. And that, my friends, is going to bloom white roses like you have never seen before. I'll pass it back.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I've got to say I am white-pilled. I'm white-pilled for a number of reasons. The first reason is because we've been talking about the realities of race and we've stuck to our guns. We haven't cooked. We haven't gone back on what we've said. We haven't decided to moderate or sell out, and we certainly haven't taken a knee. And over the years, we have taken some abuse for that. But I think it's paid off. I think that now people are looking at Patriotic Alternative and they're looking at ethno-nationalists for answers, because we warned about this, we talked about this, and things are going to get worse before they get better. We're the only ones that are going to offer solutions. Now, I find it really, really hilarious that the TR movement is out there now trying to open up dialogue with Black Lives Matter. I find it hilarious that the DFLA leadership are claiming that they've been talking to BLM leaders for weeks now and trying to thrash something out. What? These people want white people en masse to submit by taking a knee. Why should we take a knee for anyone? Now, I assure you, if Muslims were asking us to take a knee, those groups would be saying, no way, stand on your feet. But here, they are eventually going to take a knee. And you'll see that one of two things will happen. These groups will either go the whole way and they will appease Black Lives Matter by taking the knee. Or at some point, they will turn around and say, we're not going that far. We're not actually getting down on our knees. We'll talk to you and we're not going to oppose you, but we're not going to get down on our knees. But the problem is, with groups like Black Lives Matter, with those pushing an openly Marxist anti-white agenda, there is no halfway. There is no middle ground. You're either 100% following what they say, or you will be termed a racist. And you can already see this, even in their communes, even in this Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone in Seattle. It's already going wrong. It's already falling to pieces. The leaders are already saying every single white person who is in the Chaz area, if they haven't given $10 to a black person before they leave, they're part of the problem. You can already see the redistribution of income coming. And I'll tell you this, when all these white people have handed over their $10, it won't stop there. It will soon be, well, did you just give $10? And the reasoning behind this is because they're saying, if you can't be trusted to redistribute your income by yourself, then you're clearly part of the problem. And that's a very, very worrying message that's being put out there. These people are saying, if you can't be trusted to redistribute your income on your own, you're part of the problem. And the next logical step is, we will redistribute your income without your consent, which essentially means we're going to come and take what is yours and we're going to have it. And you can see that what is happening in these areas is already very, very similar to what happened in Haiti when the black population gained, quote unquote, independence. And the interesting thing there is that many whites in Haiti actually supported blacks in their bid for independence. They actually sided with the blacks against the colonial rulers. But it was only a short matter of time before the blacks turned on the whites who sided with them. And you're already seeing this in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And I think it's going to be very interesting, because watching people like Tommy and these CivNats trying to spin an argument that BLM is somehow good because it's blacks, or BLM is somehow full of good people but run by bad people because it's actually controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood. All of this insanity will lead, I think, ultimately to the leaders of these groups exposing themselves. And once they have, there's going to be a lot of normal people in those movements who have supported those movements or donated to those movements, or in the past seen these movements on TV and thought, yeah, I really hope these guys go somewhere, that are going to be awfully confused, that are going to be looking for a new political home. And the likes of Richard Inman, Glenn Saffer, Tommy Robinson, Anne-Marie Waters, none of those people will be able to offer true nationalists a home. Because ultimately, if you are pushing the Zionist multicultural agenda, you are never, ever going to provide any solutions or a safe space for white people that want to preserve their culture, their heritage, and to, most of all, ensure that they don't become a minority in their ancestral homeland. What's your thoughts on that, Laura and Jason?
Yeah, I mean, we cannot live with these people. We just can't. They want to dismantle whiteness. What do you think that means? There's no level of equality that we can get to with these people where it's like, okay, that's it. They don't have an end goal. And even when you ask them, what can I do to make you feel better? They say, I'm not going to tell you that. Figure it out yourself. It's not for a black person to teach you. And that's because there's no answer. They're just full of resentment. That's all it is. They live among us. What's that quote about familiarity breeds contempt or something? That's what it is. Yeah, is that right? They live among us and they just harbour so much resentment towards us. I don't blame them, to be honest, but we just can't live with them. They need to go back home to Africa, because I'm allowed to say this out because we're not on YouTube tonight. But it's so naive to think that we're ever going to get to a position where they go, right, it's okay now, we've reached equality. We're never going to reach it. And nothing that you do will ever be good enough for these people. They want your jobs, they want your money, they want your house, they want your wife. It's just, we can't work with these people at all. And I'm not saying, you know, every single black person is like this, because of course they're not. But you have to look at the trends of the overall group, and we can't live together. And our end goal, well, their end goal, our end result is South Africa. That's what it's going to be like. So I think white South Africans are about 8-9% of the population. They've got big fences around their houses and alarms. They sleep with guns next to their bed. I mean, you've all seen the farm murders. That's the end goal if we allow this to continue. And to suggest that we can just, you know, oh, let's have a conversation with them. Let's have a bit of equality. No, this is tribalism. It's natural and it's truthful. And this is how it is. And we need to separate. So that's all I've got to say.
So Jason, do you have any further thoughts on this before we go into the second half and start answering people's questions?
Yeah, I'll just briefly say that without question, this is anti-whiteism, and all of these things that they claim, let's have a conversation. I've had a whole life of this, and how many of you all are sick and tired of this low IQ'd, like the level of a 4-year-old, but has the ability to crack your skull open? Let's sit down and have a what more can we do? Well, what more we can do is we'll tell you that when a police officer orders you to do X, Y, or Z, you have to do it. And if you don't like it, then too damn bad. That is how civilization operates. You don't sit down and have a conversation and say, well, the police officer has to understand you're a person, and that we know that the cops can be jerks. We know that idiots can be in the uniform. I, as a minor, got beaten up by a police officer, so I have no great sympathy. But the reality is that we have civilization, and that means that you have to obey law and order. These things are just excuses that they put forward. There is no amount of, it's just like Laura was saying here, there is no moment that equality or forgiveness can be reached, because those aren't objectives. Those are just excuses to victimize you and to destroy our civilization. How many times in a person's life do they have to see this evidence? Well, I'll tell you what, even if it would take you your whole life otherwise, we're gonna be here shouting loud and clear so that you'll get it before the end. And we end up in the sanguinary outcome that they're witnessing in places like South Africa, Rhodesia, did witness in Haiti, which of course was Saint Domingo at one point, a beautiful jewel of the Caribbean, when our white brothers and sisters ran that place. And then they got this crazy anti-white idea of turning everything over to anti-whites. And of course, they destroyed them. So, and we're doing fabulous, by the way. I just want to say, I'll pass it back. We are doing so magnificently and having so much
fun. Quite a few. Remember, you can still gift through Entropy and ask questions. And you can also do the lemon thing. We have a huge number of lemons. A lemon is worth... It is obviously anything that is gifted is absolutely very graciously received. And you can also gift on Entropy as well. And I'm not sure how to find out what people have actually said with the lemons. So sorry about that. The lemon thing is still a little bit of an enigma to me. However, we can go straight over to entropy. I've been putting the entropy link in the chat, but we do have great numbers. And one thing I'll say is at the peak of this show, we've had 2,300 people watching, which I find pretty amazing, actually, considering on YouTube, we are in a situation where at most we get 2,700 viewers and the stream keeps dropping and chopping. I know the stream hasn't been perfect tonight, but hopefully I'll get enough followers so we can become verified and we can increase the quality. And one thing I was going to say is at some point I am going to do a gaming stream with some old Super Nintendo games and a bit of gaming and chat. Maybe I'll do that potentially one night this week if people would like that, to test this out again in a different way and see if the stream with the games works. So we could go for that. Anyway, we will go over to entropy and we will do the entropy questions, and I'll keep spamming the entropy link in the chat. So the best way to donate is still through entropy, because it means you can make a statement or ask a question. And if you have given via Lemon, by the way of a lemon, thank you very much. But I am not sure how to read those out. We seem to have just lost Jason. Okay, let's do the donations. Here we go. The last PaleoCon gave $25. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, Mark, you are a blessing and white pill to us all. Love you, my brother. All the best. Well, thank you for such kind words. And thank you for the very generous donation. It was very kind of you. Grim Fan gave $3. Could you please tell me where to find the email address for getting in touch with local people? Many thanks. Well, thank you, Grim Fan. Thank you for the just adding Jason back again. Thank you for the donation. I think me and Laura want to say a few things about this, and this would be a good time to talk a little bit about the homeschooling group as well, because we are currently in the situation now with the lockdown coming to an end where we actively are trying to get people out, and we will be having local events to get people in touch with each other. And we already have 3 regional organizers, one in the West Midlands, one in Yorkshire, one in London. If you want to email me at Mark at the Fall of Western Man, and you're in one of those areas, I can put you in touch with your local organizer. So please feel free to do that. But yes, we're not only getting local groups going, but we are also moving ahead with the homeschooling. And I know you wanted to say a little bit about that, Laura. So thank you for the donation, Grim Fan. And Laura, say a bit about the homeschooling.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a quick update, because I don't like it when we like say we're going to do something and then you don't hear anything for a few months. But the homeschooling, the alternative curriculum, the homeschooling project is very much underway. And it started off with me, Mark, and 3 teachers, and it's now about 15 people who were involved, all teachers and experts from the area of education, whether that be for the government or in an educational establishment. Very, very happy to say that we've actually got male teachers involved as well, because although the women that we've got are amazing, I was very concerned that we might not have good role models for little boys, which is obviously very important, but we've got male and female teachers. If you go on the website now, on the PA website, there's an alternative curriculum tab, and we've got the first bit of information up. So what it basically is if you want to take your child out of formal education, then all the information that you need is already on the PA website. There's a document which details your rights as a parent, and there's also 3 template letters that you might want to send to the school and the local authority. So you can start straight away. Obviously, we haven't got the homeschooling content on there yet, so you know, you might want to wait until that comes up. But it's your responsibility as a parent to school your child anyway. But the reason that I wanted to mention it tonight is because the content that our teachers are producing is just so beautiful. And some of the topics that we're focusing on is early years to begin with, also history, which is very interesting. And nature is going to be a running theme through all of the subjects, because it's so important that our children get outside, you know, and experience our land and our countryside and care about our animals and their habitats and things like that. So nature is going to be a constant theme throughout the project. And I'm actually looking for 2 people to help me. I'm looking for 2 people with a very particular set of skills. I've gone a bit Liam Neeson for some reason, but we're looking for a graphic designer, and we're looking for a photographer. So if you can do either of those things, we want people who can help us make the content for the children just look a bit nicer. So either have photos on there, or graphic designs on the document. So if you can do either of those two things, if you could email me or Mark, if you're a graphic designer or a photographer, how is it best to do this, Mark? Give our email addresses out.
Yeah, email myself at mark@thefallofwesternman.com, or actually don't email me, email Laura. She's the one who's asking for these people. Email Laura your email address, which is?
My email address is hello@wewereneverasked.co.uk. If you can email me, if you're a graphic designer or a photographer, we can't pay you anything, unfortunately. Everyone at PA volunteers, including me and Mark. But if you could just spare a couple of hours here and there to help us make the content for the children look a little bit nicer, then graphic designer and photographer is what we're looking for.
Well, thank you very much. Corrie1995 gave £25. Thank you very much. And said, Nick Fuentes has been having problems with DLive streams not being processed as replays. Hope it's not indicative of censorship and that the issue is fixed. Well, thank you for the super chat. What I will be saying is I'm not too bothered about the replays. I'll just scrub them off the site. All of the replays will be uploaded to BitChute where they usually are, and people can then hop on over there. And if people want to make a donation via Entropy or Bitcoin, they can do so on my BitChute channel. That's what we've always done in the past with YouTube. We haven't had replays up on YouTube, so I'm not going to be using this as a place for replays anyway. The important thing is that we can do a top quality stream such as this, and that top quality stream will please people. And hopefully we can do other things. As I said, I do intend to be streaming this week, doing a gaming stream. I've talked about doing some old Super Nintendo games. I have got up and running, for those who are in the know, it's called Hygan. It's a Cycle Acura emulator running through my PC that I can connect an original SNES pad to, so I can play it properly through here, and you can see it in beautiful high definition, hopefully. And we'll see if it's any good, but I will try that later this week. And we may return to YouTube once all of this sort of censorship and hysteria has died down, because at the moment YouTube are just shutting down any streams that mention the Black Lives Matter issue. So it's better to be safe than sorry. And we do want to branch out to other platforms. Sensen Kamenon gave £10. Thank you very much. He says, one thing about the weekend compared to the previous week's riots was that the police were out front and center in full riot gear. Last week, it was just shirt sleeves and knee patches at the ready. We said the same ourselves, my friend. Thank you for the donation. The police's behavior was, as always, disgusting. And just one other quick thing. I have to say this. Remember, the police, who now seem so able to get out there and so able to deal with protesters, this is the same police that couldn't deal with these grooming gangs. Serena JB gave £3. Thank you very much. And she said, it's amazing that leftists who go on about hate all the time show such disdain and obvious hatred for the white working class. They're beyond contempt. That's more of a statement, but of course, we absolutely agree with that. And you can see now that it is us who are the victims of this hate. But interestingly, as we said about the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, even the leftists who are on board with the BLM movement are being subjugated and are being asked to empty their pockets, are being pushed around. There's even people attempting to grow sort of fruit and vegetables in that area. And certain of the little areas where they're trying to farm and failing miserably have already been designated that this farm is for people of color only. And you can see, even though that's only a microcosm of what would happen in the rest of society, if these people took over, it is very illuminating at how bad things would be, even for those who went along with their agenda. Bloom gave $10 and said, hey, Mark, what would your advice be for younger conservatives and nationalists who are just entering employment or attending university on how to get more involved? I always think it'd be great to have a movement of young nationalists in the UK like Nick Fuentes has in the US. Well, firstly, Bloom, thank you for the donation. And secondly, my first bit of advice would be for anyone who calls themselves a young conservative to grow a pair and become a nationalist. But for young nationalists who are at university or going into employment, the number one piece of advice I would give to those people is quite simply, especially if you're at university, keep your head down. Don't get into trouble. Don't go out there doing activity on campus. When I was in the BNP, it was always quite fashionable to go and put your neck on the block, you know, go into the lion's den, start talking politics on campus to get a few very, very quick and easy newspaper headlines, but the disruption it caused people and the way it affected their degrees and their education just wasn't worth it. If you're at university, get involved in politics, do politics off campus, get involved with us, come to our camps, come to our events, but don't put your education on the line. What's your advice there, Laura and Jason? Do you have any advice for people at universities?
Yeah, just the same as you. It's only 3 years while you're at university, an extra year if you do a master's as well. Just get your head down and get your qualification and don't let it be ruined by you siege posting or saying something edgy on the internet. Because we need people in good positions. We need lawyers to protect our people. We need doctors. We need all sorts of people with good qualifications and good jobs. So if you want to contribute to the nationalist community, then one of the best ways that you can do that is by being educated in that area and then helping our people. So don't put yourself at risk while you're at university. I do have to admit, I'm very excited about our youth as well. And it seems like every week there's a new young person who's supporting Patriotic Alternative and is just very intelligent and good optics, you know, looks really good, dresses well, talks well. Harry is a brilliant example. True UK. I think I'm saying that right. I never know how to say it. Wesley as well, and little Barclay Walsh when he reaches 18 as well. Just really good, intelligent, decent people. And we do have this wave of youngsters who seem to be coming up the ranks in PA. And it's very exciting. But I just want to echo what Mark says. Just don't get in trouble while you're at university, because it's not worth you losing out on your future. And I actually studied politics at university. And for all the modules that we did, we could choose between race, gender, and class. And I bet you lot are thinking that I chose race all the time, but I actually chose class because it was the one that I could get away with, because I could talk about the working class and how they'd been ignored, because everyone's a lefty at university. And that was a way where I could still be honest to myself, but also get good grades. So if you can do something like that, then I think that's the best way to do it.
I will just say I perfectly agree with the wise words of both of these wonderful people. And Mark, we can continue.
Have you ever thought about doing ASMR, Jason?
Actually, on the garage party, I do on Fridays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the No White Guilt channel. I do a bit of ASMR. We could do some nationalism ASMR.
Well, thank you for that. White Agility gave $5. Thank you very much. Said the stream is buffering on my end, so I'll have to miss this show live and listen to you on, you upload it on BitChute. Hail Mark, Laura, and Jason. We were never asked. Long live Patriotic Alternative. Thank you very much. Rory Herbert gave $3. Thank you very much. £3. Thank you very much. Did you notice that Trevor Colt, the Military Cross recipient, was defending the Cenotaph last Saturday? He's very angry at the mainstream media referring to the veterans as far-right thugs. Well, I'm pleased these people are angry that they're being referred to as far-right thugs. And people have to realise that the term far-right is now going to be applied to anybody who says anything that is outside of the very, very narrow leftist mindset. So if you say, well, actually, I don't believe these statues should be pulled down, you will be referred to as a far-right thug. And just for the record, I spoke about this on Monday, talking about statues going down. I believe that it won't be long before the Churchill statue is completely gone. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The problem is the left are saying that all statues that have racist connotations must go. So if a statue has any form of racism attached to it, if the statue is of a man or a woman who had anything to do with the slave trade, who benefited from the slave trade, that statue has to go. And that is the ground that they are taking. That is their argument. That is the political statement on these statues. Now, it's very interesting to see that those who are on the quote-unquote right, especially those who are conservatives or part of the civic nationalist movement, have eagerly accepted that narrative and are now saying, well, we do agree that some of these statues must go, but you've got to keep the Churchill statue because Churchill was the biggest anti-racist to ever live, so you've got to keep him. Now, the problem with that argument is whether people want to accept this or not, Churchill was complicit in the mass starvation of 3 to 4 million Indians, and he purposely diverted supplies away from those people, supplies which would have eased their suffering and potentially meant that far fewer people would have died. And when asked about their suffering and their deaths, Churchill replied with statements which, by today's standard, would be seen as absolutely racist and an absolute endorsement of that starvation, which would make that starvation not just a starvation, but a genocide. What's more, Churchill also made statements that he would like to see Britain as a white country and that he believed that Britain should be kept predominantly white. Again, something that the left would class as a racist statement. Now, this is why his statue will fall, because when conservatives take to the political battlefield and agree to play by their enemy's rules, they've already lost. If your best argument for keeping the Churchill statue is he's the world's biggest anti-racist, you've already lost the argument, because your enemies have defined the argument for you to ensure that you will lose. The people defending the Churchill statue and all statues in Britain should have defended them on the grounds that they're our history, that they're people who are important to Britain, that they did something great for Britain. And they might not be perfect people, but we will always honour them as great Britons. That should be the argument. That should always have been the argument, but it will never be the argument, because conservatives will always, always, always play by their enemy's rules, which means they can never win. And if you haven't noticed, Boris Johnson has not said the statue will not go. He's made lots of comments, sort of, I will resist the statue going, and I will always stand for Churchill being there. But he's not said it won't go, and that is very telling. And you can already see how the Conservatives allow the entire political argument to slide left, and how they're actually complicit in us slowly moving further and further towards the abyss. Is there anything you two want to say about the Churchill argument or the Churchill statue? And do you think it will go eventually, or what are your thoughts, guys?
I think it's something that we should use to our advantage, despite what anybody listening to this stream might think of Churchill and know about Churchill. The vast majority of the public see him as probably our biggest hero. And the attacks on Churchill, we should be highlighting to those people and saying, like, look what these people want to do to our history. And I just think it's something that we should use to our advantage as well. Another thing as well, one argument that we can use is that you can't judge anybody today by the standards of the past. And I find it ridiculous that people are saying, oh, this guy was a slaver, or this guy did this, or this guy did that. The world was a lot more brutal in the past than it was today. I mean, we used to hang, draw and quarter people in public. You know, all races have done very brutal things. And slavery was something which was normal to many people, even 100 years ago. And slavery is still very normal to a lot of people today, but they're not white people. And I just, this argument of, you know, this person did this bad thing and it would be classed as bad today, but it wasn't classed as bad then. It's ridiculous. So that's an argument that I always use. But anything like this, I just think that we should use to our advantage and just keep waking people up, because it's happening.
So brilliantly said, actually, because in this, I want to say, talking about some of the Groyper community who are adamant that females not be involved. What do you think of what Laura just said? So, I mean, that should just shut you all up right away and just get rid of this idea that females cannot be involved. This is exactly what we should be doing, is using any and all of these things to our advantage to achieve our objective of white well-being. So we need to be protean in the struggle against anti-whites. It doesn't matter what a particular white person did. The Churchill statue will have been, or did or did not do, or whether you like Churchill or not. And why make a decision, first of all, on the totality of an individual for a decision here or a decision there? What we do is, if Churchill did something that supported white well-being, whether he intended to or not, we love that decision. We love that action. If he did something that harmed our people, harmed our civilization, we hate that action. We hate him for doing that. So the statue is going to be white erased, like everything else in civilization, if Western civilization, if we don't recapture our destiny. They're not going to leave your statues up. Look at the white kids in the video who, yes, say kids, young adults, they're in their apartment and the non-white anti-whites are in the street marching by and they want to give their thumbs up. They're shouting out to them, we are with you. We hate white people and Western civilization as much as you do. And then a brick or rock that if had struck one of these people in the head would have turned them into a vegetable had they lived through the impact, comes through the window. And then they shout through the window again, but we're with you. Can't you? All those people could see in the street, those anti-white non-whites, is that those individuals were white. And if you're white, you can't be anti-white enough. Eventually, you're going to be purged. The anti-whites even pulled down or defaced a statue in the United States of an abolitionist, knowing that it was the statue of an abolitionist. It wasn't an accident. They see white people and they want to white erase. So this is exactly, you're both right. I agree with you totally. And we need to be talking about these things and making the case that will persuade the person or people that are in front of us. And if that means that you need to talk to them in a way that is, they hate Churchill, and so you have to talk to them in that respect, then talk to them in that respect. And if somebody else loves Churchill and you need to be able to persuade them to come over white to white well-being, then talk to them from that perspective. I pass it back.
Well, I'm not going to give my opinions on Churchill, but what I will say, I think we've got a super chat that'll deal with that. So let's move on. Let's move on. The last PaleoCon gave $3 and said, thank you very much. And said, what will we do when the quota hiring of transsexuals in public schools begin? Well, that's why we've got the alternative curriculum. We've already spoken about this today. It's moving ahead quickly. Go to the PA website, register, sign up. Sign up because the alternative curriculum is something we're working on so that you can homeschool your children and keep them away from the degeneracy and madness. Damien Demento gave £15. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, I found it tough over the years supporting nationalist parties. The highs are usually scuppered by the many lows. I was skeptical at first with regards to PA, and for that I apologise. I have 100% faith. Well, thank you very much, Damien. That's very kind of you to say that. And no need to apologise. It's just great to have you on board. Chancellor number 4 gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, Aristotle always said that multiracial societies are unstable and anti-democratic. Should we get rid of democracy? Also, massive white pill. I'm seeing some conservative YouTubers starting to wake up, namely John Doyle. You should check him out. Well, I will. And thank you for the donation. Democracy. I've got to admit, democracy on paper is a very good system. The idea that people elect somebody to go to parliament to represent their views sounds very, very good. However, we don't have true democracy. People don't elect representatives. They elect petty dictators, and they elect those people off the back of what an almost all-powerful and pervasive media tells them to do. So democracy isn't really people electing representatives anymore. It's being told who to vote in by people who hate them because the media is owned by people that despise white people. So I think democracy in its current form has absolutely failed, achieves nothing, and is just part of our slow slide to demographic annihilation. And I think that in the short term, to sort out this problem, we are going to have to try and win power in some way. But I think the current system must be completely overhauled because at the moment it does nothing except for tie people up in a meaningless dichotomy of Labour versus Tory, where whoever you vote for, you get the same result anyway. What's your opinion on democracy, guys?
I'm not sure I can answer this question honestly without absolutely smashing my optics. But I just
Laura,
don't think...
Laura. If you want, we can both go down in flames and I can give my
should
opinion.
We do it
together? Let's go down in flames. Give me a real opinion.
Well, we don't have democracy today because the will of the people isn't being carried out. So true democracy would be the people elect the government and then the government have the power to do what the will of the people want. And then the people have the power to get rid of that government when they don't do what they said they would do. What we instead have today is a talking shop at Westminster where you elect a government to do a job and then you elect an opposition to stop them from being able to do that job. It's not democracy. I mean, look at Brexit. How long did it's 2020 now. It's actually, in 4 days, it'll be 4 years since we voted. and we've got nothing because the government doesn't have the power to do anything. So how is that democracy? It's not democracy. And one thing as well is that as our demographics continue to change and Britain becomes less and less ethnically British, less and less white, these people will just continue to vote based on racial lines and elect their own people. We see it with David Lammy, who's, is it Tottenham? He's the MP for. Every year his constituency is less and less white, and every year he gets more and more votes. I think he's on something like 88% of the votes or something. And this is why the Conservatives stand black candidates in areas that are non-white, because they know that people vote based on racial lines. So as our demographics continue to fail and get worse and worse, then they'll just continue to elect more and more of their people. So I just think democracy as it is, as we have it today, is just a mess.
Brilliantly said. Yes, the democracy is rule of by way of the office. And so whoever stands behind the office is actually in control of the society. It's the telling of people what to think about potential candidates or candidates, and then therefore those people get elected or not elected based on those who control the means of communication. And we know that those people are anti-white. What the government will look like in the future, whether or not there will be or governments for our people in the future, whether or not there will be democracy on some scale or size or in some interpretation, is for later generations to decide once we recapture our destiny. It may be a part or some aspect of a cyclical governance that works in the cycles with our people, or maybe a temporary part of that cycle. It's yet to be seen. But ultimately today, it is an absolute farce. There's nothing about democracy that has anything to do with the will of the people. Nobody is deciding what to think outside, you know, aside from small communities, aside from here or there, beyond, outside of what the mainstream media, the anti-whites, tell them to think about the candidates. So pass it over, brother.
I was just trying to see if we were actually trending. Are we trending on DLive? Is it one of the biggest streams? We've got 2,200, 2,300 people watching. I think it must be one of the biggest streams on the platform right now. But yeah, I'm really pleased, Laura, that you were honest. And the reason I'm pleased that you were honest about democracy, because we are smart, we are articulate, we don't slur our words, we don't go on stream drunk, we don't behave like delinquents. But we are honest. And if our honesty offends some people, well, so be it, because we speak from the heart and we've always been honest about the issue of race. And that hasn't won us all the friends in the world a lot of the time, but we were honest about it. And we need to be honest about everything, because the minute we stop being honest, we stop providing the best alternative to all the rest. And not only does our smartness, our articulate discussion, the points we raise, they make us stand out, but so does our honesty and the fact that we always speak the truth. So I'm pleased you could be honest. And if people are upset and say, well, oh, you can't say anything bad about democracy, well, all I'll say in response to that, democracy is what has taken us to this all-time low. And at the end of the day, if a system is taking us to the point of becoming an ethnic minority in our own nation, that system can't be all that it's cracked up to be. Jupiter Jones gave £5. Thank you very much. And said, if Patriotic Alternative got 100,000 people signing up to the website, how would you help the movement? What could you do with it? Well, Jupiter, thank you for the donation. If we had 100,000 people sign up to the website, we would be one of the biggest political parties in Britain. And if we were one of the biggest political parties in Britain, we would be standing local candidates. But more importantly, we'd be holding outreach meetings locally all over the country all the time. I've said it time and again, community. Imagine if the next time we go for our war memorials, there was 20 Patriotic Alternative men and women surrounding every local war memorial. You know, Wakefield, Leeds, Pontefract, Castleford, Hemsworth, all the little towns around that part of West Yorkshire were just flooded with our people. Morley, Wetherby, all of them full. That's what you would start doing. Proper community action, smart, disciplined, people willing to stand up. None of this drunk by 12 o'clock fighting with the police, but genuine local community-based action. That is exactly what we'd do. Jez gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, it's a shame that DLive doesn't let you seek back in the stream while YouTube does. If you miss part of it, you can't get it back. Well, thank you, Jez. I didn't know about that. I mean, I don't know whether we're permanently going to be on DLive. I am going to stream more on DLive for different events. I'm not sure whether we will stick with it forever, though. But at the moment, while YouTube is censoring so many channels, we're just giving it a try, and we've got pretty good numbers. Roy Danton gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend. He says, you can also watch this live on Entropy. Yes, you can. The Thin Red Line gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, thank you to the whole panel. I missed the beginning of the stream. Will you leave it up in the replay so I can see it? I'm not sure whether it goes into the replay, but it'll definitely be up on BitChute either tonight or tomorrow. Roy Danton gave $10 again. Thank you very much. He said, you need a certain number of followers to enable replays, and reaching 1,000 and getting affiliate status will get you more perks. Well, I think we've bounded past the 1,000 mark, so I'll be getting verified as soon as I can. So thank you. Lisa Zoller gave $10 and said, thank you, Mark. Much love. Well, thank you very much, and much love back. Bryneth Malden gave $100. Thank you very much for such a overwhelmingly generous donation. Thank you. He said, greetings from the Waklingus of Hertz. What is the current status on Patriotic Alternatives application for a political party? We are still speaking to them about why we failed the second time. But don't worry about it, because there aren't going to be any elections in Britain for roughly a year, and hopefully it will be hashed out by then. And myself and Laura will be discussing this, and we'll be discussing this with the Electoral Commission. We are working hard on it. But the most important thing is the community, local community building, which we will be forging ahead with imminently. So thank you for the very generous donation. Dresden Burns gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, I'm all for raising, he said this, I'm all for raising Churchill's statue to the ground so long as a monument of Oswald Mosley is erected in its place. Laura, you seem to be smiling quite a lot then. Optics completely shattered. Jason's not even got his camera on, so you can't see how big his grin is. Chancellor Four gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, never been a fan of Churchill. Might be because I'm German. I don't think I need to say anything else, but I think you can guess where I'm going with that one. Indeed we can. Thank you very much. And Roy Danton gave another $10. Thank you very much. And said, all of those having problems with DLive, you can watch the live stream on Entropy. You don't need to be logged in, and it works fine on mobile. Thank you very much, Roy. Yes, you can. You can watch there, or you can watch tomorrow on BitChute. So that is the Super Chats. But if you want, you can ask questions on Entropy as well, and we answer the Entropy questions as well as the Super Chats. So the top-rated question today is from VM, and he said, what are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter activists pressuring our state education system to cover more Black history, as they are underrepresented in British history? Well, I'll answer this last. I'm going to throw this over to Laura, because we were talking about homeschooling earlier. What is your thoughts on the fact they want to decolonize the curriculum?
I don't think that they could make British education any more anti-white than it already is. And we talk a lot about the brainwashing that goes on in schools. I don't know if you guys saw the interview that I did with the 15-year-old lad who told me that he, on St. George's Day, he had an assembly and his head teacher taught them reasons why they should feel ashamed to be English. So this is the kind of stuff that's going on in schools. We talk about that brainwashing quite a lot, but one thing that we don't talk about is the overall grades of children based on ethnicity. Now, when white British children go into the education system at age 4 to 5, they're performing at the top. I think there's only Chinese and Indian kids that are above them, but they're one of the top performing ones. By the time they're 16 and they come out of the education system, they're performing the worst. They're the last on the table, with even Black children above them. So what's going on in the education system to allow this to happen? Like, how can you say that it's pro-British and it's pro-white and it's pro-colonialism if this is the effect that it's having on British children? Not only that, but they blame it on the parents. They say, oh, the parents don't care. That's why children are failing at school. Well, 10 years ago, white British children weren't failing at school. They were one of the top performing. So are you telling me that parents did care 10 years ago, but they didn't care today? That doesn't make sense. Obviously, something's going on, and it's this big global homo agenda that's just seeping into every gap in society. And it needs to be changed. They're also talking now about affirmative action in universities, because Black people who go to university aren't getting as many firsts, you know, like a first class degree, as white people are. White people are performing better, black people are performing worse. Oh, we need affirmative action and we need to bump up the grades of black people. It's just the whole education system is just broken, and it just needs metaphorically burning to the ground and rebuilding. I don't know how anyone can say it's pro-British. It's in fact, white working class boys are the least likely group in Britain to go to university. Out of every single class and race, white working class boys. So I don't know, what more do they want? Like, what more do you want? You're already destroying the education of British boys and girls. What else can we give you?
Yeah, and this is a great point to very briefly touch upon, is that just like we were talking about earlier, circling right back, there's no end to the excuses and therefore the demands. So they're always going to have an anti-white demand, and they will always be able to produce an excuse. And when you have a multiracial society, you're always going to have, like we said, I think it was last week, you're always going to have an individual in power harming an individual who is not in power. And often that's going to be because you have a white majority, a white person in power harming a non-white person in power. And if you stay within the anti-white narrative, they will be able to point to that incident and say, this is the proof that the anti-white narrative is real. Ergo, we need to inflict more anti-white harm on you and your civilization, including your little boys and little girls. It doesn't matter to these people. What Laura was saying. What Laura was saying is the message we have to share with our brothers and sisters out there, so that they can see that, hey, you got to pull your kids out of this. You got to go free. You've got to get out of that anti-white narrative, because it will never end. There'll be 5 white people left in the UK, and they will be known by the anti-whites as the racists. So you're going to have to pull yourselves out of this system, get into our story, talk about things from our perspective, and go free of this nonsense so that we can recapture our destiny. Mark.
Well, my feelings on this are, I'm going to say really 2 things. First is, again, it really hammers home the importance of the homeschooling work that we've been doing in the alternative curriculum, because your kids aren't going to be pushed a huge amount of trash, whether it be LGBT trash, whether it be highly sexualized material and pornography, whether it be this kind of nonsensical revisionist history, or whether it be white guilt. They're going to be pushed all of that. And it's been pushed upon them to destroy them mentally. And what I've got to say about the idea of black history being taught is absurd. The fact is, we live in a country where the indigenous people happen to be white of European descent. We are of European descent, so we have an awful lot in common with our cousins on the continent. And the greatest innovations, the greatest developments, the greatest discoveries, the greatest achievements that the entirety of humankind has ever achieved and ever accomplished come out of Europe, come out of our hearts, our minds, and come from the European spirit. To start erasing that, to start instead teaching some kind of bizarre nonsense that blacks in fact invented everything, and Africa was a thriving technological wonderland with flying pyramids until we turned up and smashed it all up and enslaved them. To teach children such nonsense would be truly a crime. It would be a crime against both our ancestors and the children who are being taught the nonsense. And the fact of the matter is, if it comes to that, people, you know, need to, and I know not everyone can homeschool, but people do need to tell their children the truth. Otherwise, to forget our history and to forget who we are would be one of the greatest crimes ever. But that's what they want. They want to sever us from our roots, because if you sever a tree from its roots, the tree can't live anymore. It can't go on living. To sever a people from their history, from their heritage, from their culture, it's like severing a tree from its roots. That's it. It's gone. It dies. And that's what they want us to do, to die. And part of their project, part of their project of killing us off, involves ensuring that we don't even know who we are, that we have no concept of who we are and what we're capable of. Adam asked a question. He said, is it fair to say Saturday could have been a lot worse and that we got off lightly? Well, thank you for that. I think it could have been worse. I think there were some bad scenes. I think seeing that, look, the young lad urinating on the memorial of the police officer who was killed by the Islamic terrorist, that was obviously very, very cringeworthy. But he was dealt with very harshly. He got 2 weeks in jail for that. There are people who, we've seen gangs of black women attack white girls and kick them around the floor and have literally walked away and been given a suspended sentence. So he's treated very harshly, but what he did was very foolish. And that picture will be rolled out again and again and again and again. We'll probably all be on Zimmer frames. And if we haven't taken power, the press will still be wheeling out that picture because that's what they're like. But yes, it could have been worse. But one thing I didn't say earlier, and this is something that really, really annoys me. I never ask anybody in this movement to do things that I wouldn't do. I never tell people to go out and commit acts or to get involved with any kind of fracas or drama that I wouldn't get involved in. And one thing that really, really annoys me with Tommy Robinson and these other so-called leaders of the different movements is that they get their members into so much trouble. Now, it's all right for people like Tommy Robinson, because when Tommy Robinson attends one of these events, he's surrounded by big, burly security guys. He's whisked away if there's any trouble. And if he does get arrested or if he does get into some kind of fracas or he does end up in a fight, he will raise hundreds of thousands of pounds for his troubles. But sadly, it's very different for the lads and ladies who go along to these events. They end up walking in to the lion's den. And when they get a broken nose, when they get one of their teeth knocked out, there's no fundraiser. They're not having any private medical bills paid for with huge donations. If they get arrested, there's no special Ezra Levant website that pops up so people can all throw in a few extra pounds to help with legal costs. These guys stand on their own. And they often lose their jobs. They lose their livelihoods. And it really boils me up inside that these guys get so many normal people into trouble. Now, I've heard that at the weekend, and it could have been worse, but there was over 100 arrests. Now, what's going to happen to those 100 people? Will they lose their jobs? Will they be alienated from their friends and family? Will some of them lose their partners? Will some of them lose their income? Will some of them go to jail? Will some of them get large fines? And who's going to pay for all that damage? Because I know that when these nationalist circuses or these CivNat circuses turn up, those running the circuses always get plenty of support and money. But their followers, unfortunately, don't. And they're often left with deep scars from what's happened. And I saw some really, really disturbing footage of people being attacked, being set upon by gangs. And yeah, that did upset me. And I do feel that those people had been terribly, terribly let down by those CivNat movements. Laura, do you think it could have been worse? Was it as bad as we predicted?
I think it definitely could have been worse. I don't think it will be remembered as being as bad as Charlottesville, for example. But it was just unavoidable, which is the disappointing thing. But like I said earlier, I don't think it's set us back too much. I think the damage has been done over the last couple of weeks and too many people have woken up. I will say something, though. This really annoyed me. PC Keith Palmer was killed in the Westminster terror attack in 2017. He died because he tried to stop a Muslim going into the Houses of Parliament with a knife. So he sacrificed himself. When The Guardian and all these articles were written about, oh, that guy's been urinating on PC Keith Palmer's plaque, it just infuriated me that they actually pretended to care about PC Keith Palmer. The only people who were stopping another PC Keith Palmer happening are nationalists. You know, we're the ones who were talking about, let's close the borders, let's look at this, let's do this, let's stop Islamic terror attacks. The Guardian are the reason why PC Keith Palmer died, because they promote this open borders fantasy of theirs. And it just really annoys me how they, like, The Guardian do this all the time. They know what the public think and they kind of pull on their heartstrings a little bit every now and again and pretend to be on their side. But they don't actually care about this at all. That was just a clear dig at nationalists. That's all it was. So yeah, that annoyed me. But that guy, I mean, he didn't actually, I don't think, urinate on the thing, but he did it at the side of it. And he should have just moved down a little bit. I don't even know if he's one of our guys. For all we know, it could be a plant, who knows. But please don't do anything like that. Just move down the side a little bit, because the press are always there trying to get a photo op. And it just looks so bad.
Apparently he'd drunk 16 pints by that time. I've just got to say, one thing about the lad, if you are watching, it was what I would call genuinely bad optics. I don't think having opinions on Democracy or Mosley are bad optics. They're just people speaking from the heart. But it was bad optics. But I do have to say this to you. The fact you were still standing is relatively impressive. 16 pints by about 1 in the afternoon and still being able to walk. You know, that is something. That is something. We've had a few more super chats. Chancellor 4 gave $3 and said, I really respect you, Mark. You and Laura and Jason and Pierre are incredibly well presented with optics that most people could easily digest. You motivate me to better myself. God bless you all. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Joseph gave $5. Thank you very much. And said, anti-whites begin by condemning some distant act as racist that vague normies can comfortably agree to. After that, they move the goalposts and they own you until all your history is erased and rewritten by anti-whites. Yes, I agree. Thank you. And Mitch Donaldson gave £10. Thank you very much. And said, you were right to urge supporters not to attend the weekend honey trap. But how will our money be spent to the benefit of our aims and objectives as a movement? Well, the donations you make to myself and to Laura and to other people go to help us doing this kind of activity. What you've got to remember is, as of yet, the PA website doesn't have a way to donate. Myself and Laura do not take a wage from PA, although we work for the vast majority of our waking day on Patriotic Alternative. So donations that come in to me and Laura, which aren't, we're not bringing in $2 million a year like Tommy Robinson, nothing like that. Those donations go to helping keeping our head above water. They go for paying for the costs of things like different social media accounts, making sure that we can stream to more than one location at a time, making sure the Fall of Western Man website and the email addresses keep working. All these things cost money. And I know that we want to move forward. And at some point, PA will start taking donations because people have been asking how they can formally make donations to the organization. But at the moment, we haven't done that. And we have shown that we are running a very, very well-oiled machine, and we've done it on a shoestring. So I hope you can appreciate that the money that comes in through shows like this goes to making sure that myself and Laura can dedicate as much time as we do to the movement, because otherwise both of us would have to work full-time jobs and we just wouldn't be able to answer all your emails. I get up and I'm usually at my desk from about 6 a.m. in the morning. Now, most people who email me will know that they get an email back sometime between about 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. That means I spend the first sort of 2 to 4 hours per day answering emails. And that takes a lot of time. And if I didn't get such generous super chats, and if I didn't get people sending me entropy chats or bits of Bitcoin, I just couldn't do that. I would have to go out and I would have to work a full-time job, which means you won't get your emails answered. And it means I couldn't spend as much time as I do making sure the conferences are such a success. And I think we are very accountable to you guys. I think you get amazing value for money, considering both myself and Laura are doing this full-time on the donations we get. And you can see every week we do get generous donations, but we're certainly not taking away 6 or 7 figure sums. So I just want to make that very clear. We are very, very thankful for the donations we receive. We work very hard for them. And those donations do go to making sure that you guys get as much value for money as you can, and that we are full-time workers for you. We respond to your emails. We are always there when people need us or reach out to us. And not only do we run PA, but we also put up out top quality content every week on YouTube and BitChute. Laura, what's your take on this?
Yeah, there seems to be this thing on the right where I mean, we're fighting the left, which is this huge, well-oiled, highly funded beast, and it gets government grants. They've got charities backing them up. They've got journalists who work in the entire mainstream media. They've got a George Soros as well. We don't have anything like that, but we're trying to counter that, and we're serious, and we're trying to implement real change in Britain. And you have two choices. You can either have nationalists working full-time jobs and just dedicating a couple of hours here and there, and somehow we've got to win by doing that, or you can have nationalists working on this full time. And Mark and I aren't involved in this for the money, and I'm quite happy to talk completely open about my finances. I work for about £3 an hour, and I work about 70 hours a week. And I'm not like criticizing anyone who donates to me and saying you have to do it more, because every penny I get, I'm completely grateful for. But Mark and I are not in this for the money at all. We're in this because we care, and we actually earn very small amounts of money for doing it. Also, I quit a job where I was earning about £4,000 a month to do this. So it's not about the money for us, but we do need people working on this full time, because how are we supposed to do anything if we don't have people working on it full time? If Mark and I went back to full time normie jobs, and we both still do a little bit of work here and there, but if we went back to full time normie jobs, then we couldn't run PA. We'd have to close it down. We could probably keep our YouTube channels going and just have upload a video per week. So it's your choice. You know, if you want people working on this full time, then people are going to have to, unless we can find a George Soros who's going to fund us. What else do we have? We only have the community who supports us. So, and we're completely thankful for those people who do support us as well.
We are. And look, one thing that a lot of people don't see, and I talk about it sometimes, I really want to address this. We have a situation where I get people writing to me every day with problems, personal problems. They need help and advice. I have young lads who ring me on Telegram, who send me their phone number, ask for my advice, and I never turn anyone away. Never. Some days I will schedule calls from, you know, 2:30, 3 p.m. onwards, where I'm just talking and helping people out. I had a guy who was designing a nationalist computer game. He was like, "You're into gaming. Could you give me some advice on what you think makes a good game?" I spent an hour with him. I have a young lad who rings me regularly, and I spend half an hour with him sort of once a month. You know, and I'm not asking for a medal, but if people want to know what I do with my time, I'm happy to tell them. And something else I'll say, I've never asked for a penny from anybody who's written in asking for help. I've never said, well, I'll give you some help, but here's a donation button. We're not Jordan Petersons. We're not people charging 150 quid for half an hour on Skype. Lauren Southern was doing the same. I think if you spent like a grand with her every month, she'd give you a half an hour Skype call. That's not us. We aren't doing that. We're trying to build a movement, and we spend an awful lot of time doing this. I remember one year, and this was very spiteful. We put on a great camp, and about 40 people turned up, and I charged £30 a head to come to the camp. Now, for £30, people got two nights on a really nice campsite, which had hot running water, proper toilets, and it was illuminated. There was proper bins, really, really nice campsite. You could even get a hot shower there. It was a good place. Laura, you were there. It was a nice campsite, wasn't it? Really nice. You also got breakfast both mornings in with the £30. I cooked breakfast for everybody both mornings. And then you also got an all-you-can-eat barbecue on the Saturday night. So you got two nights at a really nice campsite, hot running water, proper toilets, hot showers, everything like that. You got two breakfasts and an all-you-can-eat barbecue. And I still had somebody come in after that, on an episode of it might have been PWR then, it might have been Tutar. I think it must have been PWR by that time. But I still got somebody who came in and said that they wouldn't be going to the camp because what was I doing with all the profits? What? By the time you've paid for the campsite, by the time you've cooked people bacon sandwiches, by the time you've got all the coal for the barbecue for three different cooking sessions, by the time you've done an all-you-can-eat barbecue, some people had four hot dogs. You know, four hot dogs at an event can set you back 15, 16 quid. You know, and there's still somebody always in the chat, what did you do with all the profit? At the end of the day, there wasn't any profit. And all the things I spent doesn't even factor in all the petrol I used and time I used going to the supermarket, driving around to every Asda in the area to get the best quality, hot dog sausages. It's just ridiculous. And I think some of these people are trolls. But if people ever want a breakdown of what we use money for, we are the most honest and transparent people in this movement. So I really hope that puts this to bed. But if anyone wants to talk to me about my day or Laura's day, we are always open and honest about this. And once we do start to take donations via the Patriotic Alternative website, I can absolutely assure you we will keep very, very open books with exactly what we've taken, what it's been spent on, and exactly what people have been paid in wages and expenses. Is there anything you want to add to that, Laura, before we do the last two super chats?
Yeah, I just wanted to say as well, also the conference. People always say, what are you spending that money on from the conference? How much do you think it costs to hire a room for 200 people? Because it's not cheap. And Mark actually makes a loss on the conference. He doesn't make a profit from that at all. I know that Jason and Dion were very generous with their fares as well and didn't expense the full amount, and that's how we're able to do the conference. And then finally as well, Mark and I are pretty much unemployable now, like especially after Teagate last week. I'm not going to be able to just walk into a normal job, and we've dedicated ourselves to British nationalism, so this is something that we want to do full time. And I think we've put ourselves at risk as well. I remember thinking that when I was in the newspapers last week that someone was going to recognize me and come round to my house. My fiancé was at work until about 10 p.m. and I was like, please come home because someone's going to come round to my house and attack me. And I think we do put ourselves at risk by putting ourselves out there. So really, this is a full-time thing for us now, and it's always going to be a full-time thing for us.
Well, thank you. We've got some last super chats. People are asking if we're going to open the lemon chest. I don't even know what the lemon chest is. Dresden Burns gave $25. Thank you very much. And he said, it's been a dream of mine that white trad communities with the US secede from America and gain their own sovereignty. Pat Buchanan and others have mentioned this sort of balkanization of the country, but I never knew people were widely pursuing its fruition. Have you heard of the State of Jefferson or Cascadia? I haven't, but I think it's a good thing. Collect your families and move to white areas, spread the word and start it happening. You have seen what's happening in multicultural areas. You know what the future is going to be. Do the right thing before it's too late. Phil Barker gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, you're a good man, Mark. Thank you for your service. Well, thank you very much. And Bloom gave $5. Hey, Mark, greatly appreciate your work. Have you ever thought about setting up a Discord? I have, but I don't want a Discord simply because they always seem to leak. And Discord has previously given chat logs to the FBI. So that is always something that worries me greatly. And Joseph gave $10. Thank you very much. And said $10 for the tip jar. Thank you very much, my friend. How do you open the lemon chest? So what is the lemon chest? It's a yellow box in the middle.
Yes. And when you click the chest, it will distribute a portion of the Leno points that you have received over the course of the stream to the chat randomly. Those who have participated and given the most are the ones that are most likely to receive or be in higher in the running, and so most likely to receive the rewards of the portion of the Leno chest. So do you see the little treasure chest? You just click that and it'll start a countdown.
I have given 10% of my lemons. I'm a very generous lemon farmer. I've given 10% of the lemons back to the chat. Here it goes. This is exciting, isn't it? It makes a bit like a game show, doesn't it? I feel a bit like Bruce Forsyth. Yes. Here we go. 8 seconds. 7 seconds. Ooh. So what you do is you give back your things. Wow. So there you go. I have given 10% of my lemons back to the community. So no one can say that I am not somebody who likes to give back, even in terms of lemons. It's great. I could give my girlfriend a real shock to answer. We've had 8,338 lemons donated, and she'll be all excited. And think we've got enough lemons to start the world's biggest lemon farm. Then I'll explain that they're worth a penny each, and she'll probably She probably won't laugh then. They make you think you're richer than you are. But yes, I hope everyone likes the lemon gifts that we've whizzed out to you guys. I hope that you got something back. So thank you so much for donating. And I think it's been a very, very good show tonight. And we'll start by saying thank you to the absolutely lovely Laura Towler. Her honesty, her beauty, and her commitment to this cause are absolutely unrivaled. She has been a fantastic guest. She is a fantastic comrade, and she is one of the most talented people I have ever worked with in my life. Thank you so much for being here. I think it's been a very high energy stream and our first on DLive. Please give yourself a little outro. Tell us where we can find you and how we can contribute to your work.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I've had fun. And I think we've pretty much had like 2.2K viewers all the way through. And you've gone over 1,000 subs, followers, whatever we call them on here. So, yeah, it's been good. I know we were worried before, weren't we, saying, what if no one goes to DLive? But I think it's been a success. So I just want to say thank you to you both for having me here this evening. And thank you to everybody in the audience. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. You can find me on YouTube and BitChute at Laura Towler. And most of the work that I do nowadays is at Patriotic Alternative. So I run the website and I upload daily articles onto there. We usually have between 2 and 4 articles go up a day. So if you've not checked any of them out yet, go and check them out, because our writers are really good. But yeah, just I'll see you all soon, and take care of yourself.
Well, thank you, Jason. What are you up to, my friend? And also, who's on tap and what is going on?
Tap is on Saturday at noon Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. UK time. We hope to see you all there over on the Discipline with NWG channel. And of course, we have Unwashed with us on Saturday. So we look forward to seeing you all there. It has been my great honor. Absolutely not a Jejun show today over on DLive. How exciting. A great honor to be with these two wonderful people at the head of Patriotic Alternative, Mark Collett, Laura Towler, great, dear friends, wonderful people, absolute sterling examples of probity, and happy to be working with them. Happy to be working with all of you, standing shoulder to shoulder in the cause for white well-being in the DLive chat today. And I will pass it back. Look forward to seeing you all soon.
Well, thank you very much. We have one last super chat from Ryan354. He gave £5 and said, thanks, guys. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. So that leaves me to say thank you to everyone who joined us. I will be back same time next week for another episode of PWR. We might be on DLive. We might be on YouTube. I haven't decided yet, but I hope you've enjoyed the stream. I will also be back on Friday, and my video will be a BitChute exclusive because it discusses things that YouTube won't allow you to discuss. So another BitChute exclusive, and my videos are going to be BitChute exclusives for a good few weeks until things sort of calm down and I start making YouTube safe content. So please make sure you are subbed over on BitChute. The replay of this show will also be over on BitChute. So please make sure you check that out and share it. That just leaves me to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to the lovely Laura Towler. Thank you to my good friend Jason. And thank you to everyone who donated so generously. Tonight was a fantastic show and a fantastic DLive debut. And that just leaves me to say thank you to the wonderful audience and the community that supports us so much. We love you all. You are the reason we do this. And I am sure you are the reason we will be victorious, because community is everything. Thank you so much. Stay safe. We will see you same time next week. Until then,